The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
It's actually a very safe refrigerant. Daikin wants to be involved in the community.
Making another touch point to build my brand.
So the first question we ask everyone is, welcome to Accelerated HVAC Success. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today we're down at Sargent Beach on the Texas Gulf Coast, and I'm here with Krista Williams.
Yay.
She is, what is your title? I mean, you just told me you're not allowed to have a title anymore.
Well, we're going through EOS, but I'm the founder and what I would call visionary, maybe lead strategist for Lemon Seed Marketing.
All right. Well, Krista, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me out here. Not too far for me, so it was a nice drive out here to the beach.
No, and I don't think we could have asked for a nicer day.
Oh,
the
it's
wind
beautiful.
Is blowing. It's gorgeous out here. And, you know, we're kind of tying this whole entire year as we go to different environments, different locations. When we think about inverter heat pumps and we think of Daikin Fit, the Goodman SD, the Amana S series, you know, it's really designed to function in any environment. I want to talk about just marketing, you know, planning, brand strategy. You know, let's talk about what contractors are doing. It was so cool. Just recently, I had Tanya Gates, and she's a brand new client of yours.
Yes, yes.
On the podcast. And she was super excited because she was talking about her avatar, which I know is something that you teach to all contractors.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we're marketing to everyone, we're really marketing to no one.
Uh-huh.
So in our messaging, you know, we have to have editorial style and verbiage that really connects with our ideal customer. So, you know, if we have someone that is, if we're trying to be in an affluent market and we want to reach out to the people that make good expendable income, then we need to tailor our verbiage to that. So for Tanya specifically at Gates, you know, we had to go look specifically in her market, like who is her ideal target market. So not even is it necessarily who's already doing business with her, as much as it's about who do we want to do business with.
Yeah.
You know, let's choose your customer and let's curate everything around that. So we do a lot of research. Of course, with AI, we have so much. I mean, it has like opened up the stratosphere of information. I try not to be overwhelmed with AI. But we utilize AI to really get in the weeds and start looking at things like credit data. Even things like, I thought this was really cool. One of the things that pulls for us is they're traveling. Where do they stay? Where do they choose? And the reason that matters is it starts helping you understand their mindset, where they spend their money, how they think of things, where they put value. And it just goes so much deeper than, well, the average person's a 40-year-old female. We want to know that it's a college educated, she has two kids, she drives an electric vehicle, she commutes or she works from home. All of those things help curate a really solid message that then you pair with your brand story, and that's where I think you really differentiate yourself with every other contractor in the market.
You know, I think that's so critical. I recently was just up with a group of contractors up in Minnesota, and I was talking to them, and they were telling us how they, you know, all my customers pay cash. Of course, we've all heard that before. And then they started to say, you know, my customers don't want this, or they do want this. And I said, well, wait a second. Are you saying all the things that you want? And they paused for a second and they were like, well, yeah, isn't everybody like me? I said, do you really want to sell to yourself? I bet if you thought about it, you would be the absolute worst customer
absolutely.
In the world.
Some of y'all are difficult, high maintenance. No. So I tell everybody, odds are your ideal target market is not a 55-year-old white male.
Right.
They're not the ones that are normally having to make the decisions. So normally, honestly, we're dealing with females. We're dealing with a little bit on the younger side. And normally we're dealing with people that are trying to be trendy. So what I say a lot of times is you don't have to be like super innovative to the nth degree where you're like overly innovative, but you do need to be trending with the times because that's what your average consumer is doing most of the time. Now you can put yourself outside the box if you really want to go. I have a client right now who's in South Texas that really wants to hit this innovation piece, like everything about the touchless home and all of these things. And that is her differentiator. But that's her. That is her, she and her husband's. That's their story, and so it fits for them. It doesn't have to be everybody. But yeah, you probably think that everyone likes what you like. The best example is with direct mail. All of my contractors, literally almost every single one of them, are like, I never look at junk mail. And I'm like, yes, you do. You just don't. You don't necessarily make an exact action right there. But that direct mail is doing what it's supposed to do, which is make an impression. And you have to really get out of the way sometimes. Get out of your own way, for sure, on that.
Well, and I think that goes back to one thing that I think we've all learned in marketing is you have to always be testing, measuring, and figuring out, you know, what's working, what's not working.
So when you measure marketing with your gut, it's basically like, let me get an airplane. I'm going to cover my eyes and not be able to read. Now, the gauges are right in front of me, but I'm going to keep my eyes covered because I want to go off gut. Let me steer this airplane. It's close enough. Let me steer this airplane without any gauges.
Right.
I have access to gauges. I just refuse to use them. That is really what happens when you refuse to, like, implement some tracking strategies in your marketing. Not everything is trackable. So, you know, your mass media things, like last time I checked, when you're going 80 miles an hour around a loop or around an interstate, you're not trying to scan a QR code on a billboard. Okay. So, you know, unless you have a vanity phone number, you probably aren't even putting that on there. So tracking, though, what you need is some sort of visibility to the actual point of acquisition. So what tactic did you deploy and spend money on that some consumer engaged with directly? And how do I tie it into actual revenue inside of my business? And that's where we need visibility to those things. Digital is an easy and hard thing to track as well, because it's very diverse. And we were talking about this when we sat down. It changes so much that even the marketers can't keep up with it. You could talk to 5 different digital marketers and they're going to have a different opinion on a Google algorithm change. Some of them were like, this was great for us. And they were like, this was terrible for my, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is, to your point, you know, the customer talks about the last interaction or the point of acquisition that they had. So a lot of those leads that come in, if you do have the CSR saying, how did you hear about us? Oh, it was the internet. That may not be what caused them to call you.
No.
It could have been, to your point, the direct mail, the billboard, the radio, the TV, the Little League sports team that's out there.
Well, you know, I'm on this kick right now on my own podcast. I recently did a show called 2 + 2 = 5. And I did that because marketing, my job would be a whole lot easier if I could just give everybody this exact recipe for marketing success.
Yeah.
If you go click all these things, now there's people out there promising that, and I'm like, there's no way. But if you trust the process and you layer on all the different styles of marketing, meaning you have a good brand to start with, not a logo. Logo is just a piece of a brand, right? A good brand, you spend money on marketing and advertising, and it is a mix of branding and call to action and cultivating those existing people in your database. All of those things together is what makes success. But you might look at them independently and be like, I put these billboards up and nothing happened and nobody called me because I put the billboards up. And I'm like, that's not the intent.
Right.
The intent is exposure over and over again. When you add everything together, that's what makes it good. My best analogy, it's kind of girly, is if you were to say, oh, Crystal, I love this cake that you make. And I was like, oh, let me give you a piece of it. And I gave you 2 eggs. I mean, that's an ingredient.
Right.
It's not what makes the cake. I have to bake all of those things together to make the cake. And that's the way that marketing, you want to eat well, you better have a good recipe. And that's what happens is people want to be like, you know what we're going to do today? Let's try this without the eggs. Well, then you don't have the same cake. So it's definitely a process of building and layering your marketing and then tracking it to know where to pivot. It's a game of chess that you sit down and never get to get up.
Well, and for some people, that's what makes it fun. And for others, that's what terrifies them.
Absolutely.
To death.
Some people are pumped for that. And some people are like, never mind.
Well, and I think a lot of contractors, they got into this because they're really, really good at fixing things.
Oh, yeah.
Or really, really good at sales or really, really good at installing things.
Yep.
And, you know,
good
marketing, marketing is not the thing that they really want to spend a whole lot of time on. So they say, hey, I'm going to give you some money. Now you make a magic wand go, and make it all my marketing problems go away. And it doesn't work that way.
No, no. And, you know, people are like, man, I just want to give somebody my marketing and walk away.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, so Lemon Seed's designed to be that style of support, but it's still a partnership for multiple reasons. Because let me tell you, I'm going to be the first one, and marketers hate it when I say this. Marketers do not build companies. Operators build companies. So I still have to, as your marketing arm of your company, so basically Lemon Seed would be like having a marketing department, graphic designer, a strategist, a coordinator, all those things, just at a fractional kind of perspective. And I'll tell you, it still takes you talking back to us and saying, okay, I'm seeing really good response to this offer that we're running. So for example, if we want to get to higher end equipment, we want to install higher end equipment. I talked to a client yesterday in Texas who installs partial equipment. So it drives me nuts. So I'm like, you're only, my average ticket is $6,000. And I'm like, why? Why? Well, I'm not gonna sell them something they don't need. So we have to walk all the way through those things. Oops, sorry. So we can have a good understanding and be on the same path of why we are here to make money. Yeah, you know, we're here to make money, and we wanna market ourselves to be the expert, to provide options, and to get people to upgrade to those nicer units and nicer installs that provide them with really what they're asking for, but they just don't know it.
So for all of our territory sales managers that are out there, our contractors that are listening to this, I've got Crystal here, and I'm gonna ask, if you could give me the top three things in as far as putting together a brand strategy, looking at utilizing that avatar. So, for all of those that have not seen your avatar exercise, just imagine you've got a blank slate. You're looking at an age. You're looking at, are they male, female? What's their name? What do they drive?
Education.
Yeah. So what are the three things that somebody could walk away after listening to this podcast and they could go and do in their office or with their team right now to really get started on that journey?
On identifying the ideal avatar?
Yeah.
Or on the branding journey?
Well, I think the avatar helps you really start to develop the branding journey, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the branding is how you make people feel. So I would say if I was starting and I wanted to just like get back to basics of like, how do I neutralize this thing and then push forward from there? I'm going to tell you, understanding who you're marketing to is key number one, like you said. So really identifying who are we talking to and not wavering from that on messaging. So when you get ready to write anything, content, even when you're developing your maintenance club levels, you do it with that person in mind. So if I'm in Lufkin, Lufkin Linda is on my mind when I'm writing those. So could a 60-year-old man want different options? Maybe. But we're not talking about that man. We're talking about Lufkin Linda. So we build our programming. We build our sales books. We build everything around Lufkin Linda. But defining Lufkin Linda is very important.
Mm.
And then the second thing I would tell people to do is figure out a budget that not only pushes you a little bit, but that you also understand where it's going. So not just signing all these random contracts with random vendors and throwing things at the wall. Truly get contracts in place, understanding in place, and expectations so that you can really make sure your messaging is consistent across the top. And then I think the last thing I would tell everyone to do to walk away with is implement a tracking system and an accountability system for your marketing so that you don't look up one day and be like, why am I been spending all this money, but I have no new customers and my revenue hasn't grown. So some KPIs that you can track weekly, daily, to see how many new customers do I have and what are my average tickets and is my marketing being fueled by those things where marketing and operations meet together. So I know that's kind of a little broad mix of things, but honestly, when you have who you're talking to and you have a solid budget in place that is 8 to 10% if you're trying to grow of your revenue goal.
Yep.
Okay, so if you're over here at 3% and you're like, man, I've never spent more than 3%, well, that's why you're sitting where you are.
Right.
So if that's at 3 million, if you want to get past it, we got to do something we've never done before.
Yep.
So, getting that budget in place, getting solid partnerships and agreements, understand where you're spending, and then tracking it and measuring it yourself internally. It's your company, not these marketing companies, not all these coaches, consultants, and all these things. As a contractor, it's your company. And as a sales guy, like helping them understand you're there to help them build their story.
Yep.
So each contractor's different. How they look at business is different. How they track their numbers are different. And so if you can get in their head about how they run their business and provide good coaching and good support, a lot of times you'll become a good trusted person. And that's what Lemon Street Strives is. I'm here to work for you. Like, how can we help you grow? And it can be a game changer.
So if I could rephrase what you talked about, is you got to define your customer.
Yep.
You have to own your business.
Yep.
And you have to track the results.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's it.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're going to talk about in our next time we get together, we're going to talk about how do I track those results.
Sure.
And we're going to really dive into that. So any final thoughts, words of wisdom you want to share with our audience before we go
absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. I just want to tell contractors especially, you can do it. You can do effective marketing and effective branding without it stressing you out and causing you heartburn. It just takes you being a little bit risky and very calculated. But don't hesitate to lean into marketing and know what it can really do, because marketing will change the trajectory of your business and you will change the outcome of your business. But it definitely is worth being a little risky and getting people on your team to help you get there.
Crystal, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, for all of you that are out there, please, if you like this episode, go ahead, hit that like button. Make sure that you hit the follow or the subscribe button so that you can be informed of all of our upcoming episodes that we have. We thank you all so much for being here and watching us. Crystal, thank you so much
absolutely.
For being
thanks
here.
Thanks for letting me be here.
And everybody, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
It's actually a very safe refrigerant.
Daikin wants to be involved in the community.
Making another touch point to build my brand.
So the first question we ask everyone is,